You could just ready to hear God's word. And title of message for today, I love this message. I love this title. I am sending you out. Our God is a missionary God, which means he's sending. He's a sending God. Remember going to London and had a chance to speak at this church. Our God is on a mission right now. That's a big statement. Our God is not someone who was so distant and folding his arm, has nothing to do with history. He's on a mission right now. In fact, it is his attribute, because even before the foundation of the world, our God was a sending God. Okay, so we're continuing with this topic. We had a part one of I'm Sending You Out last week, and this is part two, I'm Sending You Out. And if you look at the rest of the title, it's an amazing topic. I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Would you just sit up and listen? Because I don't think this is a cotton candy message. Like those of you who are raising your children, do you feed your children candies only? Is that your love? You know, Dr. Brian Chappell talked about filling the cereal for his daughter, which I think it is an amazing thing to do. Yes, but I don't think he meant you just feed cereal. I don't think so. Jesus, in today's text, he speaks. It's a pretty chilling message. Chilling message. You will be hated by everybody. And Jesus is speaking the truth. If you think about it, his word has to be true. Otherwise, why bother listening to the word of God? And, you know, we've been going through attributes of God. And today is the last class of second semesters of attributes of God. And the topic for today is immutability, which means he's not changing. Now, think with me. He is immutably good. If not, he's changing. And only there's two directions that he could change to. Is he getting better? He's good. He's becoming better. Or is he becoming less better or evil? Makes no sense whatsoever. He's immutably good. You could put any attribute of God and put the word immutability. Immutably holy. He's not changing. He's holy. So which means he's perfectly holy. He's perfectly righteous. And he has to be true. His word never changes. If it does, we can't really trust him. And he's basically saying, I'm sending you out, which is a historical moment, by the way, because up to this point, it was all Jesus. Ever since beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was the one who was healing all the sicknesses. Jesus was the one who was teaching in synagogues. And Jesus was the one who was preaching, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's Christian message. And yet, we want to make this Christianity soft and cotton candy messages. We can't do that. We have to be true to what he's speaking. Yes, yeah, we've been going through Jesus' second major discourse in the Gospel of Matthew. And this is our 61st message. I think I missed it. 61. So hopefully, Lord, we'll finish Matthew before he returns. And we're continuing. But something good about going through the entire Gospel, because if you pick and choose the passages, oftentimes you could be picking topics that you want to speak about. Oftentimes. Not necessarily. But if you go through the book from beginning to the end, you're going to have to be true to what is being shared. Okay? And we go verse by verse, and we've been going through it for more than a year and a half now. Okay? So, we're in a second discourse, and there are five discourses, major teaching, in the Gospel of Matthew. First one is Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:6-7, which is not ethical teaching. Yes, there are ethics. Yes, there are things that we want. Love your enemies, yes, but it's really about kingdom manifesto. This is what kingdom of God is like. This is what Christianity is. And King himself came and is declaring that. We're done with that. Now we're looking at the second discourse, which we will talk about. Third one is Matthew chapter 13, which is about the parable of the kingdom. And one of my favorite parable is, it's like kingdom of God. Christianity is like this. You're a merchant, and you're looking for a pearl. Why would merchant do anything? To make profit, of course. So he's looking for a pearl and finally finds a pearl. So precious. So what does he do? He hides it, and he goes back. He sells everything, and he buys it like a merchant. And that's how kingdom of God is. Have you bought the kingdom of God? Right? Chapter 18 is about kingdom church discipline, and it's about the church, Matthew chapter 18. And the last discourse is chapter 23, 24, and 25, which has seven woes of all the religious people. But it is about the Olivet Discourse, which we discussed in Africa just a few weeks ago. About the end. About the end. Historic return of Christ. Bodily return of Christ. It's not just the cult talks about return of Christ and the end. And have you ever thought about this? There is no book speaks like the end so clearly, repeatedly, and very, very precisely like the Bible. How can he possibly do that? Because he writes the history. Whatever he counts, whatever he proposed, it is going toward the end. His end. And that's what, you know, last teaching is about. Today, we're still in second major discourse, which is about mission of Jesus or commissioning of Jesus. He's sending people out right now. I'm sending you out. Can I just explain something? If you're a Christian, you have been called out of the world. John chapter 15. I'm going to read that a little later. You don't belong to the world. The world will hate you because you are not one of them. If you're one of them, they will love you. If you do whatever the world does, they will not hate you. But they will hate you before they hate you. They hate you because they hate me. The reason the world hates you is because not of you, but because of me. Because I have chose you out of the world. What do you hear? Election? But called out. Ecclesia. That's what church is. Called out. And the second thing we need to know, if you are a Christian, you are sent right back to the world. As ambassadors, as missionaries, or as Christians into the world. So you are taken out, and then you're sent back in. Does that make sense? To me, that is so amazingly exciting. It's been 49 years since I came to the United States. It's hard for me to say. I was just a little bit upset when Dr. Chappell said, Paul, you and I in the same culture. I was like, Dr. Chappell, you can't do that. So such a low blow, I thought. But I am. I cannot deny that. It's been 49 years. I came to the States in middle school years and with my parents, and I had no idea why we were coming. I had no idea. But right now, if I were to ever being born again to new life, this is totally not Christianity, but I would want to live the life that he called me to live. I want to live for him. I want to proclaim his truth. I practiced dentistry for 17 years, as many of you know, and it was wonderful. It really was. But no, I respect that profession, but yes, I want to live a life that proclaims the truth for my King who loved me and gave himself for me. Last week, we looked at the first part of this this course, and Jesus is sending him, sending people out, sending disciples out. And verse 2 says, apostles out. What's the difference? Disciples, apostles. Right? I know there are apostles in Africa, but apostles means to send out. Ambassadors. I think it's really, really meaningful. With the authority of Christ to heal, to proclaim, and to teach the truth. About what? About kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom is near. It's not a soft cotton candy messages, people. A lot of churches, people think, you know, people walk away from ambassadors conference. Yeah, we just need to fill the cereal. I don't think that's what he meant. We had a lunch with him yesterday as I was taking Dr. Chappell to the airport. And this morning, one of the things that really ringing in my ears was, you know, Paul, I literally travel all over the world. And I traveled a lot. I don't know that many people who traveled more than me. I've been to Philippines about 15 times, Africa 35 times, London about 20 times, you know, whatever. And he was saying, most of the churches preach, do better messages. You do better messages. What he means is that it's not a Christian message. Okay? He's not talking about sugar, cotton candy messages. Most of the churches, they come to church and they sit in a beautiful sanctuary, worship with the best musicians, listening to all these great, watching videos and whatnot. But they listen to most of the churches that he has seen, you do better messages, which is not just sub-Christian message, I'm quoting Dr. Chappell, is anti-Christian message. Do you follow? From the pulpit, the life needs to flow. Rather than the life, it's the poison you hear every single day about, yes, about my self-righteousness, how I could be a better person to be acceptable to God, which is anti-Christian messages. Okay, but Jesus is sending him out, sending disciples out, sending apostles out, and Jesus is sending people out now, sending into the world. You don't have to go to Africa to be a missionary. You know, I share, every Christian is a missionary. Every person who doesn't have Christ is a mission field. There are mission fields right here. I see it. Okay? So today, he instructs the disciples and the disciples of all time, the church, who will be obedient and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom sent by the Lord, and he gives warnings. Warnings, chilling warnings. Can we take a look at it? I'm sending you out as I'm sending you out sheep among the wolves. What do you sense? What is sheep to the wolves? Food, meal. You go out without Christ, you're just a meal to the world. That's what he's saying. You know, we see this expression in Matthew chapter 7, sheep and the wolves. Where do we see that? Be aware of false teachers. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. False teachers. Wolves. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. I look like sheep. But inside, I'm a wolf. I prey on you. I'm your predator. And Jesus says, be careful. Be careful. And he's going to repeat the same thing. Like parents, when you raise your children, do you always tell just, you know, I love you, I love you? No. You tell them. You discipline them. You teach what is right. Be careful when you cross the street. Be careful. Just once? No, no, no. You look to the left and you look to the right. And then when there is no cars, you look to the left again and look to the right. Make sure you do that before you cross the street. You do that to your children. Why do you do that? Because you are a hard, harsh parent? No. That's what deep love of a parent is. And that's what Jesus is doing today. Okay? So with that introduction, let's look at the, I don't think I could read that. I'll read from here. Listen to his message. Look, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of the wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. You don't go out there thinking that everything is cotton candy. It's not. He's actually preparing you and warning you. Be careful. I'm sending you out, and I'm sending you to my mission field, wherever that mission field where I have this designated you is. But it's like sending sheep into the among the wolves. There's a danger. That's what he's saying. So be wise as serpents. That has a negative feeling, because the serpent, and we are reminded of Genesis chapter 3, like cunning kind of thing. But Jesus is telling us to be wise. You don't go out there and just lululalala and be eaten by the world. You have to be wise as serpents. However, his description does not end there, but it says, innocent as doves. Expression of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. Okay, you see that. And then his teaching is, be aware of men. Be careful. Be careful of whom? Men. Be careful of men. Don't be naive. You need to be discerning. You need to be able to tell who is the wolves and who is for you. Be aware of men. Where do we hear this? In Matthew chapter 7, be aware of false teachers. Right? There were false teachers in Jesus' time. What's false teachers? People who teach and preach the word of God. There are false teachers in Jesus' time, obviously. And there are false prophets in the Old Testament time. And there are false teachers now until Christ returns. If you look at Matthew chapter 24 and 25, what is the one of the signs of the last days? It's going to be full of false teachers. Full of false teachers. Using the Bible, using the jargons, using the terminology, Jesus, Holy Spirit, mission, all that, but not teaching what the Bible teaches. Okay? Be aware of men, for they will deliver you over to the court and flog you in the synagogues. It's getting rough, right? Who is he speaking to? Disciples, his followers, and he's speaking to all of us. Be aware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts. That's a government system, or maybe synagogues. And what he's talking about is, we're going to look at three sources, major sources of persecution to Christians in this teaching. Number one is religion. Inside and outside the church. Inside the church too. Paul talks about it in Acts chapter 20. There's going to be wolves will be rising among you and try to deceive you and make you listen to them. Remember that? Right? Second source is the government. Do you see what's happening? It's not just North Africa. It's not just China. It's not just Middle East. Canada? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to the United States. Because I came to this country in 1976. This country, I kind of saw this country changing for the last 50 years. Okay, last 50 years. And there was a historic moment that Albert Mohler, who is the president of Southern Seminary, and he wrote this book. And basically, there was a moment in history where the table has been turned. What he means by that is, for the last 2,000 years, Judeo-Christianity always had the upper hand for the truth and what is right. Now that table has been turned completely right now. So you cannot be naive. What Bible says is right before the Lord, people say it is wrong. What is definitely wrong, they say it is right, and it's legalized. Okay? Albert Mohler speaks about a moment when President Obama basically legalized the marriage of homosexuals. Table had been turned. Okay? Government. Last source, is the most chilling. Family. You know, I've been in ministry for about 35 years, mainly with young second generation Asian Americans. And one of the things that I've learned is that Family is so important. When they have a baby, their life changes.
That's why when I do discipleship and from teaching from the pulpit, and when we do discipleship, I always warn people, when they're about to get married, be careful that you do not give into marriage.
When somebody's about to have a baby, I always tell them, be careful so you don't give into your baby. Don't let baby dictate your life and ministry.
I always tell people when they have a second baby, be really careful now.
You know, after that, I just, okay, on your own. Yeah.
People, the family becomes the center of their life.
I don't think Jesus, you're gonna hear the word of Jesus, what Jesus say about the family.
Okay? So the first is the religion. Basically, be aware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. Jews, when Jesus was teaching, wherever they went, where there is a community of believers, they built a synagogue and following the law of Moses, and they would condemn and they will flog people, scourge people. They do that. And there is no evidence of the actual 12 disciples went through that, but when you look at Book of Acts, right away you see it. Don't you see it? How many times Paul was beaten 39 times? In the Bible, at least 3 times, maybe more. Do you remember that? So religion inside the outside, of course, but inside the church. You know, when I was teaching Matthew chapter 7, I quoted Jim Boyce. He's a leading scholar. He passed away. He's like Brian Chapel, or maybe even more famous than Brian Chapel. Jim Boyce. So who's that? Who's that? False teachers. He said the false teachers are in denomination, seminaries, and in your churches. They're all over the place. Be aware of people. Be aware of men. If you don't listen to what the teachers are speaking, what preachers are speaking, you don't just love people, someone, because that's Dr. Chapel. Oh, that's my pastor. You don't do that. If you have Spirit of God, because you are born, you will discern. Wait a minute. What Pastor Paul is teaching right now is really not of the Scripture. You intuitively sense it because the Spirit of God is in you. If you agree with me, would you say amen?
Amen.
Do you just take everything because I say it? Of course not. Of course not. Right? So it's the religion. And second is the government. And what did Jesus say about the government? When they deliver you, and they're going to deliver over to your court, and you will be hated by all. How do you like that? Is that a cotton candy Christianity? Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. You will be hated by all. It's the truth of Christ, people. And Jesus says, it's not because of you. It's because of me. Why do people hate Jesus? Why do world hate Jesus? I could give you a couple of answers. Because they love the darkness more than the light. Because they don't want their evil to be exposed. When I preach biblical preaching, some of you will be really, really be turned off. You'll begin to criticize me. That man talks too much. Okay, let's go to lunch. And that's mild beginning. And then you're going to say, oh, he's offending me. He's saying that I'm not a Christian. And if you go a little bit further, oh, I want to pick up a stone and throw it at him. You know, that's how it happens. It's not me. It's the Word of God is offending you. You know why? Because unless you come to Christ and regenerated by Christian, your sin nature wants to obey no one. Because your heart is autonomous. Sin by nature is autonomous, which means I am the king of my life. I don't listen to anybody. I don't listen to anybody. I am the king. But offense of the cross basically say, no, you're not. You're going to have to give it all to Christ. Submit to him, to his kingship. That's going to bother you. That's why it is the offense of the cross. I love Galatians gospel, because Paul was basically saying, why am I still being persecuted if I am preaching without the offense of the cross? He's rhetorically saying, I'm being persecuted because I'm preaching the offense of the cross. Because the religious people, those Ishmaels and the Jews, were persecuting him. Do you follow? Yeah. And then Jesus teaches what to do when you are turned over to the government and when you get into trouble. Listen to this. This is an amazing teaching. When you deliver over to them, do not worry. Do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. You're going to have to defend yourself, right? But don't worry about it. Why? Because what you have to say will be given to you in that hour. What is Jesus saying? Why not beforehand, in that moment, I'm going to let you know what you need to say. I'm going to give to you. What is he trying to say? Trust me. Trust me. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? And then he goes, for it is not you who will be speaking, but it is the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. In other words, here's the real confirmation, strengthening of the disciples whom they are sent to the danger. Basically, don't worry about what you're going to say, because it's not going to be you, but it's going to be the Spirit of your Father, which means I am with you. God is with you. The biggest difference between a believer and non-believer, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Clear teaching. When I go to Africa for African missionaries, one of the things that I want to do in May is I want to teach Upper Room Discourse, John chapter 14, 15, 16, because there is a clear teaching about Holy Spirit, pneumatology according to Jesus. How do you like that? This October, I wanted to teach Olivet Discourse because that talks about the end according to Jesus, eschatology according to Jesus. Right? Romans Bible says, and Jesus said, and when for the disciples, I am with you and in you forever. If you don't have Christ, you do not have the Spirit of God in you. You don't. Biggest difference. How big is that difference? God difference. God difference. Right? So don't worry what you're going to say. It'll be given to you in that hour, for it is not that you speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Third source of persecution comes family. Okay, listen to his word. Brother will deliver brother over to death. First time death is mentioned, martyrdom is mentioned. Brother will be deliver brother to death. Father, the child, children will rise against parents, and they have them put to death. I see my relatives fighting for inheritance money. Have you ever seen anything like that? Fighting for money. Siblings, brothers fighting for money. Siblings fighting for money. Just for money. I have one brother, just one brother, who's younger than me. I can't imagine doing that. I'm glad that my parents are not rich. No inheritance. Praise God. Yeah. But people with inheritance, it's a problem. Right? It's so dirty and sad. You just abandon your brother so that you could have all the inheritance. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Because of Jesus, brother will deliver a brother over to death. We are very capable of doing things, and it happens all over the world. We had a, what do you call that, migrant from Turkey. A couple years ago we met, and they came to the United States for safety because they turned over from Islam to Christianity, and their relatives wanted to hurt them. It's the family who wants to hurt them.
It's not illusion, people. Okay? Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. So you will be hated by all. Cotton candy Christianity? No, it's not, people. For my name's sake, what's the why do world hate you? If you have Christ. If you're like the world, nobody will hate you. If you don't offend people with the offense of the cross, nobody will hate you. Because the offense of the offense of the cross has been removed. Galatians 5:11. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures, listen, to the end will be saved. What do you hear? Yes, we need to persevere. Yes, yes, yes. But I think it implies that if you do not endure to the end, you will not be saved. That's word of the Lord. But the truth of the gospel is, he who began the good work will carry it on till completion, until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are so confident about that. He who knew me and predestined me, called me, justified me, and I'm already glorified. That's the gospel, isn't it? If you have the confidence of the promise and the truth of the word, you will be able to endure. Amen? Amen? Amen. Otherwise, people go all over the place. One of the signs of truly not true Christian, they fall away. They could come back, but they fall away. If you look at John chapter 6. 20,000 people were following Jesus. Wow, spectacular miracles. He's feeding us. He's our king. He's going to be our new political king. 20,000 people were following Jesus. But as soon as Jesus starts teaching about kingdom and the truth, what happened? Everyone left. It's all crowd. Only the disciples were left. Do you remember that? Chilling statement. Brother will deliver brother over to death. Father, his child. Children against parents and have put to death. This is a chilling statement. But why is Jesus saying this? You know, I was really thinking about this. That's his deep love for his children and the disciples. If you love your children, wouldn't you tell them the truth? You will just give them candies? I don't think so. He's giving them the truth. Preparing them, warning them, and encouraging them. Like, if the message of this church, or let's say I stop message here, you will be hated by all. Go home, live. Would you come back to this church? Probably not, right? Oh, I can't take that anymore. That's not what Jesus is saying. If you look at the whole teaching of Matthew chapter 10, that is not what he's saying. Yes, that is true. No, it's not going to be a picnic. In fact, you'll be hated by all. You will be persecuted by your religion, perhaps even your church, and your government, and your family. Family, 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 emphasized. Read, go read. Family, I think, is most emphasized. You know, I've been doing young people's ministry. I always tell people, don't give in to marriage. Don't give in to marriage. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving into marriage. Don't let your child be the rule of your life. Don't. John chapter 15, in Jesus' upper room discourse, this is a few hours before he died, and he's speaking to his beloved disciples whom he loved. What would you say right before you die to the people you love? Make sure you exercise. Brush your teeth. You wouldn't say that. Probably something most important that you really want to convey again. And this is what Jesus said. Listen, okay? In the upper room discourse, if the world hates you, know that they hated me first before it hated you. If you are of the world will love you. But you're not. That's what he's saying. Okay? You've been taken out for it is for its own. But because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world. Ecclesia, you are not. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. I've been taken out of the world. Ecclesia. Holy. That's what holy means. Separated. Separated. Excuse me. Separated. You're bought at a price. You are united with Christ. Because you are united with Christ. Because of the gospel. He's saying this. I chose you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. Can we just pause for a second? Is this the kind of Christian message you hear or you preach? I really want to ask you. This is what Jesus is speaking to his disciples. All these things will do to you on account of me. Because of me, because of me. If you don't have Jesus, nobody will bother you. They will love you. Okay? And then he goes, he say this, whoever, that's why, now you, this will make sense. Whoever hates me, hates my Father also, but they have seen and hated both me and my Father. You know why the world hates Christians? Because they hate Christ and hate God. That's what Jesus is saying. That's a strong word, hate. I asked this question to Stony Brook students. Why would you persecute? Why would you persecute someone? Because you disagree? No, it has to be much stronger than that. If you want to persecute, you hate them, you want them to not exist. And Satan doesn't want you to exist, his kingdom to exist. That's what Jesus is teaching. Okay? On account of me, they will hate you. And the beginning of part B, so what are we to do in response to this? A disciple is not above his of teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for disciples to be like teacher and the servant like his master. If they call me master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they allow those of his household? Basically, he's saying this. If they persecuted me, they will definitely persecute you. I'm a teacher and you're a servant. You're not greater than me. If they call me master of Beelzebub, he's a satanic person, he will definitely do that to you. But it's such a strong word, but I begin to see hope here. Where do you see hope? How much more will they malign you? Because you are his household members. I begin to see hope. You know why they're going to persecute you? Because you are children of God. You belong to Christ. I begin to see hope. Don't you see hope? That's the hope. So have no fear of them. That's the message Jesus is teaching. He's going to say three times, no fear of them. Don't fear of them. Do not fear them. Do not fear the man who will kill you physically, but fear God who will throw your body and your soul into hell forever. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do you hear it, people? That's what Jesus is doing to his disciples as they are moving into the danger. Amen? Amen. Can I just switch gear? What is Jesus doing here? Jesus really is preparing you. What's the purpose of me coming to America, going through dental school, married children? What's the purpose of God sending me here? There's got to be a purpose because God, Jesus is sending God. Our God is a missionary God, sending God. Why did he do that? With a purpose, with a message, as ambassadors of Christ. Ambassador means, implies, I represent another kingdom. Usually means I'm not in home country. And ambassador means I have a king that I represent. Ambassador means I don't speak what I want to speak, but I speak what King wants me to speak. That's what ambassador is. And Jesus is preparing his ambassadors as he's sending them out with only saving message there is. I was reading the transcript last night. I was tired after the conference about immutability. Gospel is immutably the gospel. I don't know how I came up with the statement. Gospel doesn't change. It is only through Jesus one could come to the light from the darkness. If you agree with me, would you say amen? I really do believe that. I really do believe that. In Romans chapter 8, at the height of Romans' gospel, he's really at the height and the pinnacle of Romans' gospel, the masterpiece of Apostle Paul. And he's basically saying, he's rhetorically saying, like these questions, rhetorical questions. If God is for me, who can be against me? That's something that someone called Zwingli, the right-hand man of Luther, keep, as he was dying, asking his friend, read that again. Read that again. Read that again for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Like he's at the head of the gospel. And then he goes, he asks that, and then he says this famous statement, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How much more will he not give all things graciously to those who love him? What do you hear? Greater to lesser logic. If God gave me Christ, would he not give you little care? It's like lesser to greater logic too. If God feeds the birds, why would you worry about what you will eat? If God dresses the lily of the valley, lilies of the field, which will be here today and tomorrow they're gone, will it not clothe you? Lesser to greater logic, lesser to greater logic, greater to lesser logic. If Christ was given to you, would he not give you whatever you need? That's what Jesus is, Paul is saying in Romans 8:32. He goes on to say, who shall place charge of me to God's elect? I'm God's elect. Who shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? And then he goes say, shall tribulation, persecution, all these things, can it separate me? No, absolutely not. No. And then he quotes Old Testament. Listen to this Old Testament, which will be applied to today's passage. For it is written, for Jesus' sake, for your sake, we are being killed all the days long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Totally makes sense, doesn't it? So resonate with what Jesus is teaching here. And then he goes on to say, but no, we are more than conquerors because of what Christ has done in our lives. We're not going to be lost by all these persecutions. Yes, they may take our life away, but they will never be able to take our souls away. That's what Paul is saying. And then he goes on to say this conclusive statement, whom shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? For I am convinced, neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither present nor the future, no power, neither height nor depth, and then anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Confidence in what Christ has done, in what he has promised to his people. Yes, I'm sending you out to the among the sheep, among the wolves. Yes, I'm sending you out because that's what I came to do, and you're going to do the same. That's what it means to follow him. Isn't it? Didn't Jesus say, just as my Father has sent me, I'm sending you? What did Jesus come to do? Why did God send his Son into this world? Eventually, ultimately, to go to the cross, to seek and find the lost. And he's doing the same thing right now. Same thing to his God's people.
I just want to close. It's rather serious message, isn't it? Jesus loves you. Please go home and live with that. It's not that kind of message. It's much, much more than that. The context is much more important than that.
I'm called you because I want to put this purpose in you. I'm going to send you out, but there's a danger. It's been predicted, but fear not. Fear not. You have nothing to fear, for you are more than conquerors. For I am with you. His word is immutable, never changes. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is immutable. He's immutably the Savior and Lord. His gospel is immutably true.
Why would you be persecuted?
Because of my name. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to be persecuted. If you say, preach what people want to hear, you're not going to be hated by people. Because the offense of the cross has been removed. Okay? I want to close with this one last verse. Jesus already shared this, Matthew chapter 5. Do you remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. And then it begins to, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. How would you be a peacemaker? When you have peace with God. Otherwise, you will never be a peacemaker. You'll be a troublemaker wherever you go. And then the last one is what? Eighth one is what? Blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteousness' sake. What's that? Christ, his truth, and the gospel and kingdom. Why is that a blessing? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those are the people who are Christians that God has called. Do you hear it, people? Chilling statements. Serious message. It's not a cotton candy message. But my heart is so encouraged. After Ambassador's Conference, you know, because we've been preparing whole year, so much my emotion has been poured into this. So I couldn't sleep last night. I couldn't sleep well. My heart was just so many different things going through in my mind. And Dr. Chappell, yeah, you go anywhere in the world, the message you hear is do better, do better. No, that's not Christian message. That's not even a sub-Christian message. That's anti-Christian messages. That's poison to the souls. Only through what Christ has done, we are more than conquerors. Whom he has called, he justified. Whom he has justified, he also glorified. Amen. Amen. May the Lord open the scripture so that you will know what your calling is. I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out. I'm missioning you out. You are missionaries, my missionaries. Let's pray.